You are listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and I've had the opportunity to have a number of conversations with Magella McAllister, who is at the Museum of Childhood in Ireland. And a wonderful initiative was undertaken some time back where people were invited to contribute childhood memories. And in doing so, first of all, I would say when I got my hands on a copy of the book, I was blown away with the number of people that contributed and who they were. And, you know, we're talking, there were a whole lot of names I recognized there. And I will point one out straight off because it surprised me. And that was Desmond Morris. And we'll talk to Magella about this because many people will know of Desmond Morris. And then you'll say, well, what's the connection to Ireland? There's others like that. Magella, Ta Fáilte, great to have you back. And thanks so much for coming along.
Mead a break, Sir Fad, Austin. Thank you so much for having me on and for always being such a supporter of the Museum of Childhood Ireland, Museum Oigin Éireann. The book that you have alluded to is Kings and Queens of the Road, Ria agus Bean Rianacha na Hair, na Bóthair, and it's from ourselves, Museum of Childhood Ireland, and Robert Burns. And it's a beautiful book. It's got fantastic contributors. It started as an idea. Robert Burns approached us, had seen what we were doing, had seen our emphasis on collecting and storytelling. We aren't a museum that starts with an object. We have plenty of objects. We start first of all with the human. The person, the child who was, we were all children. Then we look for the personal story. Then we look for the social context, and then we look for the wider historical context. So it was an absolute pleasure. It was a lot of hard work for myself and Chloe and all the team of people. I've a long list to tell you of people who were involved, and we were so lucky through the museum's network being able to reach out. And I think we personally got over 50 of the stories. So, you know, It was such a pleasure, and it was such a joy, and it fitted so well. But you mentioned Desmond Morris, and you know why his is included. So the museum is a museum of Ireland, the whole island, and it's a museum of the diaspora. Really, what we mean by that is it's a museum of everybody. And it's not just the famous names or the historical people. It's about people and who we are and why we are and, you know, what helps with that and what makes us and the sharing of all of that. And Desmond Morris grew up in Britain, as a lot of Irish people did. He isn't Irish. He grew up in Britain. He would have been a hero of mine through the 70s with all of his publications. And I had such a good fortune to meet him. His granddaughter runs DIVA. It's the Institute of Art in Dunleary, and with a partner. And I met Desmond at an exhibition of his artwork there. Desmond was an artist before he was a fabulous writer, and gosh, all his connection. He is the most fascinating and absolutely wonderful human. You know, they say don't meet your heroes, but in this case, my husband and I, you know, in our 60s, we were like children at Santa Claus's knee with Desmond Morris. And I just thought to ask him if he would contribute his story. And his is a story of growing up in wartime Britain, a very ordinary boy in a very ordinary school and a very ordinary child who some of his experiences are similar to others. Everybody can read something. And I suppose whether it's Desmond's story or whether it's Maura Unanuvegli's story of growing up in the Kerry Gaeltacht, or whether it's Austin's story, there is a commonality. But there are huge differences. You know, in Vicky Tomi Lee's story, it's about, you know, she was an immigrant to Ireland. Her family were immigrants, and it was about racism that she expected. Or with Zainab's story of growing up, and beautiful story of growing up in Limerick, it was about her connecting, watching nature and watching the seasons as she walked to school. So everybody has something different. Everybody has something to say. And I suppose the biggest joy about the project was allowing people to understand that they are important, that their story is important. And whether your trip to school, like Martina Devlin School, was an exciting one where you find treasure, or whether it was an observational one or an internal one. You know, the thoughtful child who walks slowly to school and needs time to adjust maybe between home and school, or between school and home, or has to prepare for, you know, facing into a day of school because they don't love school, or is preparing to face into home because they don't love home. That journey is an important space, and it's one at the museum we're really interested in, the spaces that children inhabit that aren't necessarily supervised by adults, where a child kind of gets to be themselves. Angelina Ball, who's an actor, she is very famous and well known, but such a down to earth and really incredibly warm and community driven person. And she talks about, you know, her schooling in Dublin, and learning to take some responsibility, you know, recognizing people, knowing kind of what danger is, but, you know, sort of recognizing the people that you can reach out to because you're so used to walking the route that you know it. Cathal McQuillan's story, Tom Dorley's story. I mean, I every time I read it, I find something different. The stories are simple, but in that very simplicity, there are very profound truths in it often. Sorry, I think I'm rambling on.
No, not at all.
I'm so excited by it.
And to put some of these things in context, Desmond Morris was the author of The Naked Ape, and Angelina Ball was in The Commitments and was Molly Bloom is well known. So, like, not everybody always associates a name when they're out of context.
Yeah,
with who some of these people are. And that to me also is an important point, because one of the things I've become very aware of, I suppose, or more alert to, is that these are stories, and a story is subjective. And even in growing up in a house with siblings, that the siblings' subjective experience of the same incident or the same period in time can be so divergent from one's own.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things that struck me in reading, but also in some comments that were made recently by my sister. And nothing to do with the book. We were up for dinner and I just said something and she responded, and it caused me to stop in my tracks, because it was her perception of her growing up experience. So something like this, and the 60 contributors of that, what it is doing is letting people, giving a window into the, I won't say the dark recesses, but the soul.
Yes.
Of Irish childhood.
And that's exactly what we were aiming for, Austin. I mean, you know, we really sat down. I mean, when Robert approached us, I suppose he was interested. He was with Dunleary Rathdown County Council. He's now CEO of Monaghan County Council, and he's responsible for, the cycle routes and the cycle lanes and everything. So he's really interested in safe routes to school and everything. But we had to approach it from how we approach. So it was the amalgamation of both those ideas, the fusing of those ideas, the marriage of those ideas sort of coming together. Because at the museum, we don't go out with a proscribed idea of what we're looking for. We're not looking for sentimental stories. We go out with the idea of asking that open-ended question of, what is your route to school? What was it? Did it have meaning? Did it have no meaning? You know, we didn't know what we were going to get. And I suppose one of the things that surprised me hugely was when people need to use cars, they really need to use cars. You know, some of our contributors with disabilities, and they're going to school, the necessity of those car journeys, the necessity of their parents being so involved in their lives, and also children's love of their parents being very involved in their lives as well, or not involved in their lives. It's as you say, it's different for everybody. We're all different. We all have different needs, but it's that coexistence, I suppose, of all of that together, which is, I think, is the exciting thing about the book.
And Magella, the other comment you made earlier on, which was that, you know, when I brought up Desmond Morris's name and you said that, You know, he's not Irish, and he grew up in England and all the rest of it.
And
But
lives in
that this,
Ireland.
yeah, and but that this was the experience of global, the diaspora. And I think that's an important thing as well, is that even though much of the context and content would be Irish based, the experiences, while again being subjectively individual, would be universal.
They're absolutely universal, and we do. I mean, Terry Christian talks about his childhood. I mean, he's quite an Irish childhood growing up in Manchester, but he talks about that. There are contributions from Canada. I mean, the whole idea, it wasn't restricted. It was open to anybody to take part in, as we do with everything we do at the museum. You know, we always take that approach. I mean, somebody sort of said to me, "Oh gosh, you know, it's very broad. The museum's remit is very broad. You go from evidence of the child in archaeology to the present day. And, you know, why do you do that? You know, could you not draw a line at, say, the 1930s or the 40s?" And I explained that we didn't do that, and we didn't do that very, very deliberately. And it's that if we were talking about, say, I don't know, child labour in 18th century Cork, you know, chimney sweeps, big houses, and we don't talk about child labour where it is in the world now, we are not relevant. We need to be talking about both. We need to be looking at it in its, I don't know, it holistically, I suppose. So that this book sort of, it embodies that. It embodies what we believe and our ethos, and we think it's a very natural approach. I have to say, like all of our contributors, were so trusting to actually give us their stories. You know, we spent a lot of time. You know, stories came in. We went back to people. We uploaded them. We went back to them again. You know, is this okay? Is this how you want it? Because sometimes people can write something and then change their mind. We were very, very careful about that. This is us collectively. We're looking at something collectively, and people have to be happy with what they've done. There were a couple of people who did come back even a couple of months later with revisions. We said, no problem. We made those revisions. And I think that's the gentle approach is, and a people driven approach. So people, you know, for that many stories to come in, and for people to trust us so implicitly with their memory and their story is a very pri it put us in a very, very privileged position, Austin, that we were very conscious of. And then as well, we were conscious that this book is an adult's book, and you know, we would like children to be part and parcel of it. So we actually made a board game, sort of based in loosely on a snakes and ladders kind of one, where it's the journey to school. So we have sort of some of the little motifs that we've seen crop up through some of the stories. And you know, you forget your school bag or something, or you drop your school bag, you've got to go back three places, you know, and things like that. But the important part of the board game is we have what we call tell cards. So if you land on one of those, it's to even the youngest child who's going to Montessori or to creche, you know, whether they travel by car or they travel by horse or they travel by boat or whatever way, that bicycle or they're walking. The question is, you know, what did you notice? You know, did you see any trees? What tree did you see? Or, you know, did you see a flower on your way to school? Or what neighbor did you see? So that there's an element that from very young we are aware, no matter what journey we're taking, that the journey is, it is that physical journey, but it's also an internal journey as well. And I think that's quite a beautiful thing to recognize and to include, you know, families. And people don't storytell just in words. And, you know, Ireland is it's a nation of oral storytellers, not just Ireland. I should rephrase that. Everybody, all nations are storytellers. They tell their stories uniquely and beautifully. And I suppose, you know, what Chloe and I were so delighted to do, we searched long and hard to find somebody to illustrate the book. We want to illustrate the book, and so we didn't want to use the photographs and things that we'd used online. But I kept thinking, illustration is not quite what we need here. Illustration is making everything too uniform, and we want to celebrate the uniqueness of everybody's contribution, whether it's in Irish or English, however people had written. So we found this wonderful young artist called Molly Bui Hennessy, and she had a very thoughtful, very reflective approach to her artwork, slightly surreal, slightly I suppose a dreamlike quality to it, but it wasn't there wasn't a sweetness there. There was a reality to what she was painting, beautifully painted in oils. So we commissioned her to produce a series of 15 paintings of her journey. So she wasn't illustrating anybody else. She was telling her journey, but she was telling it in paint. And I think that's also an important one, that you can tell your story in music, you can tell it in song, you can tell it in poetry, you can tell it in art, or sculpture, whatever creative means you like to express yourself in, it can be done. Or you can do it in a board game, you know, you can do it through fun, you can do it through play. So it was just really magical.
And I noticed Debbie Jenkinson actually does some illustrations herself, and that you took, I take it, it's her handwriting and reproduced it.
Absolutely. So when we contacted her, she was saying, oh, you know, mine will be a little bit different because it's in like, you know, comic strip. And we were saying, but that's wonderful. That's how you tell your stories. So please, we will include that. And, I have to commend here. We were so lucky. The Watermans in Cork publish the most beautiful books. I mean, they are. So beautiful. Everything is printed, sourced, linen covers. Everything is done in down in Cork with Watermans. They are incredible. I completely forgot to thank John Waterman last night at the launch, as you'll always forget somebody. But we really want to say a huge thank you to them, because they were so kind and generous, and they held our hand. This is it's our second book, but the first book that we were publishing. So they were wonderful. But Leon Hayden is the designer. And it was Leon who brought the chaos of everything that we had together and managed to place everything so beautifully within this book. So where she actually added Debbie's story, it fits perfectly. It looks really good as part of the overall part of it. And I suppose it's another form of storytelling, so it's beautiful. Molly's friend, Ewan Power. I forgot. So having a slight senior moment there. Ewan Power. We have no funds for to do anything more. We really needed to have the artwork photographed. So Molly Bui Hennessy's friend Ewan Power said, "Don't worry, I'll photograph all the paintings." So he did that. So I suppose, you know, when I look at the book and I look at the people who helped. You know, the people who helped last night from the museum team, you know, we had people there selling the book, and we had team members who came and they hauled things in and they helped set things up. And, it takes a village to raise a child. It took a village for to raise this child, this book as well, because everybody's contribution was incredible. And generous time and we can't thank anyone. You know, if we didn't have Leon as the designer, this book would not be what it was. If we didn't have Ewan to photograph, if we didn't have Molly to produce her paintings, if we didn't have every contributor who contributed their story, we wouldn't have a book. And if we didn't have the idea from Robert, if he hadn't approached us, it would never have happened. And if we hadn't had the entire museum team working for, well, I suppose myself and Molly for the last 2 years, pretty much every moment we could actually get, and the work of the museum team, including the most, Fiona Gleeson-Boland, who's our marketing person, who and also Hans Sommer actually helped with the marketing too. If we didn't have all of these people helping and collaborating, and we wouldn't have it. So it was a huge work for quite a small book, a beautiful book, but a huge appreciation for everything that went into it. So
So Magella, two things. One is availability. The print edition is available in a limited number of locations around the country. And the best thing to do probably would be to go onto your website to see where it is available.
Exactly. I mean, I know it's available in Harbour Books in Dunleary, in the Winding Stair in Dublin. It's available in Galway and in Carrickmacross, where Robert is from, in County Monaghan. You can get it on the website, museumofchildhood.ie. There's a link to that there. I can actually give you some more places that it actually is. I don't know the wall off.
That's okay. I see Cavan is O'Gorman's and in Monaghan, Birdie's, Keegan and O'Gorman's Super Value, Galway, Charlie Burns, Cork Vibes and Scribes, and Dunleary Harbour Books. And in Dublin, the Winding Stair Ormond Quay.
Yeah, and Corn Store in Middle Street in Galway as well. That was one of the other books. And I know that we had a request from a bookshop in Wicklow today for some copies as well, that we'll try and get down to them. So we'll update the website with that so people can see where they can pick those up physically. But if not, just it's there on the website, museumofchildhood.ie, and we will happily post and get those books to wherever they need to go.
Now, I know mailing can be quite expensive. Is it intended, or is there an online version available, or a soft copy version available?
Yeah, we don't have that available just yet. But if you go onto the website to Kings and Queens of the Road, I'll add that link as well too, and people can read the stories that were uploaded to the online project anyway, so you can get a sense of those. And we will do something about an online copy as well, a digital copy of the book at some stage.
And the other thing then is the game. Is the game available in a hard copy, or is it something that somebody downloads?
We did a couple of limited edition ones just for children to play on the night and for any children who came along so that they could take home with them. So we also made a jigsaw puzzle off it as well for if there was any younger children. But what we've done on the website is we just have it's available there. You can download it yourself and print it out at home if you want to have a game and really start that storytelling, or revive that storytelling or continue that storytelling at home. And obviously, we're very lucky. People send us stories all the time. We have so many story projects going on at the museum. I've kind of lost track of how many at this stage. But, check out the website, get in contact with us. We're happy to answer any questions. And if you want us to post you a copy, we'll be very happy to post a copy as well. And otherwise, read some of the stories that are uploaded. All of the stories are uploaded online. That was the other thing as well. The book has every story that came for this project on it. And that was really important to us. Everybody's story was important. Everybody's story was beautiful, thoughtful, interesting. So every story went into the book, which is incredible, really.
And the website is museumofchildhood.ie. You'll get all the details there. And I know it's a little tight if you're hoping to get this to somebody for Christmas with mail and everything else. This is now a New Year gift.
Yes, I think so. I think it's a way to start 2026 with. But it's the sort of book that I think you could dip into and out of throughout the year. Some are autumn stories, some are spring stories. There are no summer stories, obviously, with Routes to School and Home from School. But, the sort of early summer and early autumn stories throughout it, too. So, I think I meant to mention as well the researcher, Dr. Jackie Burke, who actually wrote the introduction to the book as well. Incredible. And she was so kind when we reached out and turned that introduction around in just a few minutes. I'm just double checking that I haven't forgotten to really thank anybody. And I think maybe Jackie is the person that I forgot to thank. But I have to say that I have such admiration for so many people, and especially for my colleague Chloe. you know, we kind of held, we got to be such good friends throughout the, it's amazing. You're doing something for, not for yourself, you're trying to do something for somebody, you're trying to give something to your country, you're trying to give something out into the world. And, you know, you meet very like-minded people and people who are just an absolute pleasure to work with. So I have to say a huge thanks to Chloe Brown for that.
Jella, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations. And again, we've shared the website there. It is museumofchildhood.ie and you get all the details there.
Austin, thank you so much. And thanks for the opportunity to come on. I was going to suggest that you might like to read something from your story.
I don't think so.
Another time. Thanks so much, Austin. It was lovely to talk to you again. Love to everybody. Thank you.